All right, so Ryan,
All
to
right.
everybody. We'll get started. I hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to, I guess, our next unit on Minyan, which this unit will be taught, as you see, by Ilana Sober El-Sufan. And it's a pleasure to welcome her back. She taught a couple months back, a two-week session now on Minyan, women in Minyan, men in Minyan, the importance of community prayer, which, of course, is gotten a lot of, it's very important. Obviously, it's been totally upended for men and for women at this period. So we'll welcome Ilana to discuss the many issues involved. Vakasha.
Okay. So basically, we're talking today about minyan, mainly for tefillah. In other words, there are various things that require 10 or that optimally have 10. I know Lori talked last week a little bit about Zimun, when you have 10 people for a Zimun and you add God's name. So we're not going to focus on that so much. We're going to mainly focus on the idea of a minyan for tefillah. And the question is, who counts for minyan, right? This is, you know, a very, very common experience that, you know, many, many women have had, you know, when you're standing on, you know, one side of the mechitza and on the other side of the mechitza, they say, we need another person. Say, I'm here. Oh, but, well, we need another man, actually, right? So I think all of us are, you know, reasonably aware that in, you know, Orthodox halacha, a minyan for tefillah is a minyan of 10 men. And we're going to try to look now at why this should be, what are the sources, and so on and so forth. So I am going to share screen. The sources also Jay just shared. And let's see, here's a screen to share. Share. Okay, here we are. So first of all, remember that we're talking about tefillah, right? Tefillah is fundamentally, what are we doing when we daven? Tefillah is talking to God, is praising God, is thanking God, is asking God for things. It's something that can be very personal. And in fact, it should be very personal, right? We have the Yerushalmi, that's the first source here, right? Lo mistabra, but tefillah, sheyehe kol echad ve'echad mevakesh rachamim al etzmo. Tefillah is fundamentally something that each of us should do on our own. In other words, we shouldn't be counting on somebody else to daven on our behalf. We should be davening on our own. We should be talking to God. And therefore, it's, you know, so you say, okay, if each person has a connection to God, what do you need a minyan for? So the truth is, there are a lot of sources that even though we recognize the value of each person and their individual and personal connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and davening, and we recognize the importance of tefillah on your own, whether it's something that you do as on a regular basis, or some people now with corona have been davening much more on their own, there's a value to it. I think a lot of people who are used to davening in minyan have discovered sort of the art of davening on one's own over the past year or so. Nevertheless, if you look right at the second source, right? Rabbi Natan Omer, minayin she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'es b'tfilatan shel rabim, right? How do we know that God doesn't reject the prayer of the many? It says when you have a lot of people davening, there's kind of an extra power to it. God is more, it's not that God isn't inclined to accept the prayer of the individual, chas v'shalom. But there's kind of an extra power. God is not going to turn away the masses in prayer. When a bunch of Jews get together to daven, that has a certain power. It brings a pasuk from Eov, Hein El Kabir Velo Yimas. Here, Kabir, which is a word for great, seems to be required an adjective to describe God as opposed to an adjective to describe the people davening to God. But the drasha on the pasuk, the way that the rabbis sort of understand the pasuk, you know, as having some kind of practical implications, is that God does not reject the prayer of those who are great or massive or many. And in fact, it gets, we have another, again, in Masechet Brachot, we have another source that gets a little bit more detailed about the value of having a lot of people together in prayer and Torah study and so on. Rabbi when you have, I think, again, people have realized this a lot this year. When you have something happening as a community, it can have a different quality to happening individually on our own. So Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, right? I'm here. Minayin shakadosh baruch hu matzui bebeit hakneset shene'emar Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel, right? God is found in the assembly of God. So when you're in shul, when you have a lot of people together that, you know, engaged in tefillah, engaged in things that are kadosh, right? God is there, Elokim nitzav, right? Now here's our key pasuk, right? Uminayin la'asara shemitpalelin shechina imahem. Now here we're not talking about men or women or anything, right? It's not getting that detail, but it says, how do we know that when 10 people are praying together, that the Shechina, that God's presence is with them? And we bring the same pasuk. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel. God is found in the assembly of God. The assembly, the gathering of people who are gathering to worship God. God himself is there if there are 10 of them. And then we start bringing numbers down, right? Uminayin l'shlosha sheyoshvin b'din. Three people, three. The Beit Din has God with them. A Beit Din of three. Two people sitting and learning Torah, God is with them. One person learning Torah, God is with them. And then it starts to build up again and says, well, if one person, God is with them, then why two? So it says, okay, there's advantages to two. There's advantages to three. Right, there's advantages to 10. It says if we have 10 people, so the Shechina already comes the moment there are 10 people, not before we even start davening. The Shechina appears in anticipation. So this is one source, okay, the source in Brachot that gives 10 as a specific number that has some kind of spiritual power, some kind of spiritual significance to the Shechina being there in a group of 10. What exactly it means, how exactly it works is beyond me, but here we already start to see the number 10. And the truth is that if you look in Tanakh, you see the number 10 earlier on, right? Everybody knows Avram Avinu is arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, about Sodom and Amorah, and he bargains down. He says that if there are 50 righteous people in the city, will you save the city? So God agrees. How 45, 30, 20, 10. They get down to 10, right? And 10 is the lowest amount that we go down to. In other words, 10 people in a city is somehow a unit, a community. There's a tzibor, a community, a collective of righteous people. And that would theoretically have had the power to save Sodom and Amorah from destruction. There weren't 10 people. Now, I don't know if it's an interesting question. I was just wondering today, and I didn't really find an answer to it. If somebody knows an answer, I don't know if the right number of righteous people in Sodom and Amorah would have included women. In other words, I don't know if this is talking about, you know, a minion in the halakhic sense or just any 10 people. But in any case, there does not seem to have been what you would call a community of 10 people in Sodom and Amorah. So that's one example where 10, a unit of 10, represents somehow a collective, a community, a significant number, a number that's worthy to save a city. Another place where we see units of 10 is in this week's Parsha, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu sets up a system where he's going to delegate a certain amount of the authority or the job of judging and making decisions and taking care of everybody's questions, right? So he divides people up into groups and subgroups and subgroups and subgroups, right? So he has alafim and he has me'ot and he has chamishim, and then the smallest group is asarot, right? The smallest unit into which Moshe Rabbeinu divides the Jewish people for purposes of making it easier to deal with all of the questions and all of the disputes and everything that comes up is 10, right? you have your smallest official is the head of a group of 10. So again, we see 10 as kind of the minimum number of people that counts as a group. Again, I didn't see this, you know, specifically, but I would wager that when we're talking about 10, that means 10 men or 10 households. Like, not, that probably is a group of 10 that doesn't include women. That would be my hypothesis. But again, these aren't really halachic sources that tell us what to do or how to count for minyan, but they are sources that start to give us a hint as to what number of people counts as a community and not just a bunch of individuals. And we see repeatedly that that magic number seems to be 10. When we have 10 people, we've kind of crossed the line, and we don't just have a group of individual people, we have a tzibur. So what is a tzibur useful for halachically? So this Mishnah and Megillah, right, which is the source here, the top source on the page, or the top source on my screen. Okay, sorry. Gives a list of things which require minyan. Ein porsin et shema. This is a kind of mini, if you get to shul late, I don't think people do this anymore, but if you get to shul late, there's sort of a way of like 10 people getting together and doing a quick catch up tefillah b'tzibur. Ve'ein ovrin lifnei hateva, and a person doesn't lead davening. In other words, ovrin hateva means you have a shaliach tzibur. So you don't have a shaliach tzibur. Ve'ein nosin et kapehem, that refers to the kohanim. You don't have duchening. You don't have birkat kohanim. Ve'ein korim batara, you don't have kriyata Torah, Torah reading. Ve'ein maftirim banavi, you don't have the haftarah. And the Mishnah lists a few other things as well. Pachot me asara. So here we have a very clear halachic statement that you have a 10-person minimum for tefillah b'tzibur, right? Ein ovrin lifnei hateva. We don't have a shaliach tzibur, and that means we don't have tefillah b'tzibur. We don't have public prayer without a minyan. And the Gemara adds kedusha. Amar of Adabarava, minayin shein hayachid omer kedusha. Right? That's another thing. We're going to see the source later, right? But that a private person does not say Kedusha. You need a minyan for that. Masechet Sofrim, Ein Omrim Kaddishu Baruchu Pachot Me'asara. Right? So we have all of these things, right? Having a Shaliach Tzibur, first of all, and then certain things that you say, such as Kedusha, Kaddish, Baruchu. All of those things require a minimum of 10. And the Gemara in Brachot gives us a general rule. It says, Shen emar, we bring a pasuk, v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. I will be sanctified among the children of Israel. We're going to focus on this pasuk in detail in a few minutes. But the clear meaning is that I am sanctified among the children of Israel, among the community, among a group of at least 10 of the children of Israel, right? That's the prerequisite for me to be sanctified, for God to be sanctified. God says the minimum for me to be sanctified is to be among the children of Israel in a formal group, in a minimum size group, and that minimum is 10. Kol davar shebikdusha lo yehe pachot me'asara. So anything that is a davar shabik dusha, a matter in which we are sanctifying God, needs a minimum of 10. Now, any tefillah is acknowledging God's kedusha, God's holiness. But we say these particular elements of the tefillah somehow have a special aspect of sanctifying God's name, and therefore they are called davar shebikdusha, and they require a minyan. So that includes kedusha, that includes baruchu, that includes kaddish. Why do we need 10 people. 10 people is at Sibur. The Aruch HaShulchan also points out that he goes back to the source that we saw before, right? You don't have a minion, you don't say those things. That's the amount that you have the Shechina. In other words, when you have the presence of the Shechina, or an elevated level of God's presence, because we saw that God's presence is there with one or two or three, but when you have the special quality of God's presence that occurs when you have 10 people or 10 men, when you have a minion, then you can start saying things like Kaddish and Kedusha and so on. Okay, so we saw here in the Gemara and Brachot that we quoted this pasuk from Vayikra, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. The whole pasuk is here, right? V'lo t'chalalu et shem kadshi. You should not desecrate my holy name. V'nikdashti, and I shall be sanctified among B'nai Yisrael. I am God who sanctifies you. Now this pasuk, we're going to see in a few minutes, the most direct halachic relevance of this pasuk, that I shall be sanctified among B'nai Yisrael, is not for the mitzvah of tefillah. It's for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, in the sense of being in the situation where a person has to give up their life in order to be Mekadesh Hashem, right? Somebody is killed for being Jewish. Somebody is being forced to violate key mitzvot in the Torah, and they give up their life rather than violate those mitzvot. That's Kiddush Hashem. And so the actual context of this pasuk, the most direct halachic relevance of this pasuk, is talking about Kiddush Hashem in the sense of giving up one's life for God. But this pasuk is also a source, we'll see to what extent it's a source, but this is also the basis for figuring out halachically that we need 10, right? We saw that 10 is a number that comes up a few times. 10 seems to be a community. 10 seems to be the smallest unit that's a community. 10 is the number where the Shechina is present. And now we're going to do a much more technical derivation to find out that 10 is the exact moment, is the exact number. Okay, so this is the Gemara in Megillah. This is the Gemara on that Mishnah we saw, right? Remember, the Mishnah we saw said, where's the Mishnah? Right, this Mishnah, right? You can't do any of these things with less than 10 people. Okay, so now the Gemara comes, the Talmud comes, the Gemara comes, and it says, Menah Hanimili. Where do we get this from? What is our source? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Krav Nikdashti Betoch B'nai Yisrael. Our source is this pasuk. Kol davar shebikdusha lo yehei pachot me'asara. My mashma. What implies this? What in this pasuk tells us you need 10 people, right? This seems like a sort of very broad and general and conceptual pasuk, right? I shall be sanctified among the people of Israel, right? It doesn't say, there's no pasuk in the Torah that says you need exactly 10 people for a minyan. So what we're going to do is called the Gezerah Shava. Gezerah Shava means we're going to connect one pasuk, we're going to connect psukim one to the other because they have a word in common, right? Detani Rabbi Chiya Atia Toch Toch, okay? We're going to do a Gezerah Shava based on the word toch. We have the word toch in this pasuk. K'tiv hacha, it's written here, v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. Our verse uses the word betoch, within. God says, I will be sanctified within the children of Israel. U'k'tiv hatam, and it says there, and there is... Um, talking, I believe, about Korach, if I recall correctly, right? Hibadlu mitoch ha'eda, separate yourselves from the congregation, from the assembly, right? That, I believe, is where God is telling Moshe and Aaron, get away from the assembly. I'm going to destroy everybody. I'm very angry about the rebellion of Korach. Okay? So here Moshe and Aaron are being told, go away mitoch ha'eda, from within the assembly. And that's connecting, that toch is connecting to our toch and v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Israel. And now we're going to do another textual connection. Va'atia eda eda, right? We had the word eda here, mitoch ha'eda. Dichtiv hatam ad matai le'eda hara'a hazot. How long will this wicked assembly continue to say bad things about Eretz Yisrael? This is referring to the meraglim, the spies. The spies who Moshe Rabbeinu sent to Eretz Kna'an to spy out the lands and come back and tell us how wonderful it is, right? They came back and they said, well, it's very wonderful, but unfortunately, the people are very strong and we can't possibly conquer it. And they made the Jewish people not wish to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? So those people, those meraglim, are referred to as ha'eda hara'a hazot. Now, how many spies were there? So Moshe sent out 12 spies, right? One for every shevet. And how many of them were bad? Well, we know that Yehoshua and Kalev were the only two who came back and who gave a good report. So 12 minus 2 is 10, right? There were 10 spies who came back and gave a bad report. So the Eda Hara'a Hazot is 10 spies, the 10 spies who gave a negative report about Eretz Yisrael. And we learn from that Eda, which is 10, that tells us that the word Eda signifies 10, minimum 10. And then we can learn, and the Mitoch, here we have Mitoch Eda, so Toch Toch tells us that Toch within B'nai Israel means within an Eda, and an Eda is 10. So therefore we know V'nikdashti B'toch B'nai Israel, we have now derived, means I will be sanctified within a group of 10 of B'nai Israel. Okay? That is a fairly technical way of expounding the psukim. Whenever you do that kind of drasha, there's a strong tradition behind it. In other words, it's not something you make up because it's not totally logical, but it's hidden there and it's has meaning. It's something that's clearly hinted at somehow in the text. And it's the kind of thing that Chazal and the sages before Chazal were really able to do with psukim. So there's one derivation. The Yerushalmi gives a somewhat different derivation. It's a little bit unclear how it works. The first part indeed uses the same source, Admatai le'eda hara'a hazot, about the meraglim. But then the second part says, Amar bisimo ne'mar kan toch v'ne'mar lehalan v'yavo b'nei Yisrael lishbor b'toch haba'im. This is talking about Yosef's brothers, right? Yosef is down in Mitzrayim, and his brothers come down, betoch, among the other people who are coming down to Mitzrayim, to try to buy food. How many brothers come down? Well, Yosef is already in Mitzrayim, right? And Binyamin is not coming down. Yaakov refuses to send Binyamin. So how many brothers is that? 10, right? So since that verse, that pasuk uses the word betoch, and it refers to 10 people, right? Yosef's 10 brothers, not including Binyamin. That can also be a source for Nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, meaning I am sanctified in a group of at least 10 people. That drasha, the drasha in the Yerushalmi, has a certain advantage, because even if there were some problem with how the brothers had behaved, they certainly are, on a much higher level than the Meraglim. The brothers are basically tzaddikim, right? You know, at the stage they're, whereas the Meraglim have just committed a very, very serious sin. So it's a bit odd to use the Meraglim, the spies, who are basically a group of 10 Rashaim at that stage, as our model for a group of 10. It's rather more pleasant to use Yosef's 10 brothers, but either one is a possibility, because we both have two very clearly defined groups of 10. Now, the Ron here says something important. He says, now, all of these drashot, all of these ways of expounding the verse, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, and so on, these are all asmachta. In other words, they're not really telling us that the Torah says you need 10 men for a minyan for tefillah, right? Because the fact that you need 10 men for a minyan for tefillah, or 10 people, we're not up to men yet, the fact that you need 10 for a minyan for tefillah is a halacha de rabbanan. It's a rabbinically ordained halacha. Why a mitzvah? Why is that? Because the whole mitzvah of tefillah v'tzibur, basically a great deal of the mitzvah of tefillah, is really de rabbanan. In other words, there is a Torah level mitzvah to daven, but it's not to daven three times a day, and it's not tefillah v'tzibur, and it's not shmona esrei. All of those very specific elements of tefillah that we have are really de rabbanan. So if Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu and Shmona Esrei and all of those things are de rabbanan, so all of the details of how they have to be recited and whether they need a minyan also have to be de rabbanan, right? So what the Ron reminds us is, he says, this is all, this drasha is a very nice drasha, but it's not telling us that the main meaning, or even the real Torah level meaning of the pasuk, v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, is that you need a minyan of 10 for tefillah, because this is a pasuk in the Torah, and the Torah never tells us you need to have shacharit and ariv and shmona esrei and kaddish and kedusha. All of those things are derabanan. So therefore, the whole halacha that you need a minyan for all these things also has to be derabanan. So again, all of these sources that we've seen so far have not said anything about men or women. Now, it could be that they're all assuming men, but they aren't explicitly saying men or women. So what I want to try to take a few minutes to look at now is, where do we start to see sources that tell us that this group of 10 is specifically a group of 10 men. So first of all, I'll start by quoting something that Igrot Moshe says in a slightly different context. He says, "De'ilinyan kedusha shavot la'anashim." Men and women are equal in terms of kedusha. There's an element of the 10. We talked about the Shekhinah being present and so on. That reflects a special kedusha that you have with a tzibur, with a group. That is clearly not the element that's limited to men, because we know that women have equal kedusha to men. We know that when women are learning Torah and women are davening and so on, women also have kedusha. The question is really going to be, what about a minyan? What about forming a tzibur? That seems to be something that is going to require specifically a group of 10 men. But as we discuss it, not to forget that this is the element of kedusha that we talk about in B'nai Yisrael, is by no means limited to men. A very early source that says explicitly that you need men, right, is in the Siddur of Rav Sadia Gaon. So that would be like 1,000 years ago, I guess, something like. V'shi'ur ha'tzibur, even a little more, shi'ur ha'tzibur hu asara gvarim shehigiyu l'pirkan, right? 10 adult men, 10 men who have reached purity, right? Puberty. So that's Gevurim. That's already an early source that says Gevurim. And I'll jump already to the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch says, you say Kaddish, Ein Omrim Oto Pachotz Me Asara Zecharim B'nei Charim Gedolim. Sheheviu Shnei Sarot. Shnei Sarot. Okay. What's our criteria for counting for minyan? Zecharim, male, B'nei Charim. B'nei Charim, they have to be freemen, not bondsmen. Gedolim, Sheheviu Shnei Sarot. Adults, meaning they at least have grown two hairs that indicate they've become mature, right? So we would say now bar mitzvah age, nobody checks exactly the physical details, right? So 10 free males over bar mitzvah. And that applies to Kedusha, Baruch Hu, right? Everything requires 10. And the 10 is 10 free adult males. So the question now is, well, okay, how do we know that it's 10 men and not 10 people? So there are a few different directions how we're going to derive this. Number one is we're going to look at the examples that we brought earlier. Remember, we brought two groups of 10 people, right? That are our model for a minimum of 10, right? That was the Toch and the Eidah, right? So we talk about Eidah, Ha'idah ha-ra'ah ha-zot, right? Right? Because Shulchan Aruch explains, right? Ein eidah pachot, right? Ein eidah pachot me'asara. Shene'emar, ad matai le'idah ha-ra'ah ha-zot? How long will this wicked assembly continue? Tse mehem Yoshua v'kalev, nisharu asara, right? You have 12, subtract Yoshua and Kalev, you end up with 10. Ve'edah zo tzarich liyot kula mizcharim b'nei chorin gedolim sheviu shnei sarot kamo shaita edah ha'amura lehalam. This is Shulchan Aruch Rav. This is the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, right? Writing a few hundred years ago. So he says, specifically, if we're going to learn it from the 10 spies, they were all adult free men. So therefore, your minyan has to consist of adult free men and exclude nashim, avadim, and ketanim. Women, bondsmen, and minors are not included in the count of 10 for minyan because there were no women, bondsmen, or minors among the spies who went to explore Eretz Yisrael. What would have happened if Moshe had sent 12 women? Might have been the whole story might have been different. And then, maybe women would count for a minyan, maybe it wouldn't have been 40 years in the desert, who knows? But in practice, he sent men, and men are the model for Eidah, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that's how we know it's 10. Ra'avan draws on the example from the Yerushalmi, right? Where we learn Toch from Rishbor B'toch Haba'im, right? When we talked about Yosef's brothers. V'hatam asara havu, dichti v'yardu achei Yosef asara. In fact, the Pasuk explicitly tells us there were 10, and we can also do the math and figure it out because we know that Binyamin didn't go. V'kulhu havu gavri, they were all men, right? Yosef's brothers were all men. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav says the spies were all men. Ra'avan says Yosef's brothers were all men. So therefore, since we're learning from these examples, we learn from the examples not just that there are 10 people, but that there are 10 men. That's part of our, they're kind of adding that into the Gzeirah Shavah. So that's one way to derive 10, to say that the examples that we have in the Torah where 10 people make a unit, those people are really men, right? When we look at the group of the 10 spies, we know who they are. We know what all their names are. Those are all men. When we look at Yosef's brothers, we know exactly what their names are. Those are 10 men. So that's one way to learn it. Another way to learn it is to look at the pasuk, V'nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael. It says, b'nei Yisrael v'lo b'not Yisrael. Now, it's a little bit tricky to do something like this if you aren't Chazal. In other words, Chazal and earlier, you could really expound psukim, freely, and we have sort of authoritative places where we say that we learn from the words B'nai Yisrael that something applies only to men. It's a little bit trickier to do it among the Rishonim, but you have it. So Orchot Chaim says, we have a drasha that it's B'nai Yisrael and not B'not Yisrael. In V'nikdashti B'toch B'nai Yisrael. Now, if you remember, when we talked about the pasuk V'nikdashti B'toch B'nai Yisrael, the root context of that pasuk, the real Torah mitzvah that that pasuk is talking about, is not the mitzvah of sanctifying God through tefillah. It's the mitzvah of sanctifying God through dying al kiddush Hashem, rachmana litzlan, right? Now, that mitzvah of sanctifying God in the unfortunate situation that one would need to, by dying al kiddush Hashem, is that a mitzvah for men or a mitzvah for women? It's a mitzvah for everybody, right? Dying al kiddush Hashem is something that applies equally to men and to women. And we'll just look quickly at the Gemara in Sanhedrin that summarizes it, right? It says, Kol averot shabatara ein omrim la'adam avor val te'areg, right? In general, a person does not die on account of a mitzvah, right? The pikuach nefesh on Shabbat, right? You don't chas v'shalom die or let somebody die rather than violate Shabbat. You violate Shabbat. And even if somebody would tell you violate Shabbat or I'll kill you, there it's a little more complicated, but there you also could violate Shabbat, right? Somebody says eat treif or I'll kill you. There you could also eat treif, right? Yeah, vor v'yareg, you should do it. Eat treif, violate Shabbos, whatever it is. Chutz me avodah zarah v'gilui arayot v'shfichut tamim. Right? There are three exceptions. This is one of these things everybody knows, right? Avodah zarah, idolatry, gilui arayot, sexual transgressions, shfichut tamim, murder. Those you cannot violate, even to save your life. Somebody tells you worship idols, you cannot worship idols. You have to give up your life rather than worship idols. Now the Gemara asks, Yachol afilu b'parhesya. Does this even apply in public? So if somebody tells you in private, eat pork or I'll kill you, then you should eat pork. What if you're in public? Talmud lomar, v'lo techalalu et shem kodshi v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. That's where our pasuk comes. In public, we have stricter requirements for when a person has to sanctify God's name, meaning when a person has to sanctify God's name, even if that means dying, right? In public, and specifically in a situation where the, whatever, the non-Jewish ruler, whoever it is telling you violate the commandments in order to demonstrate that the Jews are not keeping, in order to demonstrate that I can force Jews not to keep the Torah. In other words, he's not doing it sort of for his own pleasure, but he's doing it to demonstrate that he is going to get you to violate the Torah and it's in public, then a person would have to give up their life, right? So if he tells you in private, eat pork, you eat pork. If he gets together a big congregation of people and says, now you show that you are going to listen to me and eat pork, you have to give up your life. Vikama parhesya. How many people have to be in that audience to watch a person eat pork or alternatively give up their life? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein parhesya pchuta me'asara, right? So that verse that we learned for Nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, which is used in an indirect way to teach us about the minyan that we need for davening, teaches us something in a direct way also. It teaches us we need a minyan, or that a minyan gives us more strict requirements for Kiddush Hashem. There are more situations in which a person needs to give up their life for Kiddush Hashem if there is a minyan there, if there are 10 people there. And we learn that also from Toch Toch, right? And so on, right? Ma'alahalan asara v'kuhu Yisrael, afkan asara v'kuhu Yisrael. You have 10 Jews, okay? You have to, a person would, hopefully none of us will ever be in this situation. A person is in front of a group of 10 Jews and the non-Jewish tyrant says, you must eat pork to demonstrate that I can make you eat pork. 10 Jews watch, and you can't do it. You have to die. Now, those 10 people, right? Pirkei Tshuva raises the idea. He says that maybe this B'nai Yisrael does not mean, right? Gam binyanim nashim mitztarfot lezeh, meaning tzakidush to the minyan, to the 10 people required in cases of when you're supposed to die, al kiddush Hashem. Onim adim atu mi b'nei Yisrael v'lo nim'at Yisrael, v'lich ora nireh d'davke Yisrael v'lo gerim. He says, no, in this case, b'nei Yisrael is not coming to tell us b'nei Yisrael and not b'not Yisrael. Maybe if we're going to say b'nei Yisrael and not something else, maybe it means b'nei Yisrael and not converts. There's a tshuva of Rav Ovadia that we're going to see later, where he says maybe it's, in this case, it would mean b'nei Yisrael as opposed to, say, non-Jewish b'nei Noach, people who are, you know, believing but not Jewish, would not count towards this group of 10. But Pirkei Tshuva says b'nei Yisrael here seems to include women. And in fact, if you look at the Rav Ovadia Yosef here, right? He says, again, he's talking about the fact that you need, I think I didn't count the Shulchan Aruch, but in any case, for this minyan, for Kiddush Hashem, it seems that women are also counted, right? Gam binyan im nashim istarfot lezeh. It seems there's good grounds for counting women for this group of 10. So here, the Yabi Omer, the Rav Ovadia Yosef, is discussing whether you can count women for a regular minyan for davening. And he says, maybe Kiddush Hashem is different. Lo ba'inan shiyu b'ma'amad echad. Kiddush Hashem, it's enough that 10 people can be in different places and they all know what's happening. There doesn't need to be any connection of all 10 people being in one place. As long as you know that 10 Jews in different places know about this, that's enough. And therefore, that's a little different from minyan. And also, so therefore he says, we can't derive from the fact that women count for the 10 people that are needed to witness martyrdom. We can't derive anything from that for women counting for a minyan for tefillah. So we see from this, there are a couple of things we see. First of all, we see that there's a little bit of a trickiness in deriving the halacha directly from this pasuk, because this pasuk is talking about a group of 10 for Kiddush Hashem, for martyrdom, for dying al Kiddush Hashem, which is a group of 10 that probably does include women. On the other hand, we're going to do an indirect Rasha, because it's an indirect Rasha, an indirect way of learning the verse to apply to a totally different situation, which is the situation of tefillah. So we'll have a little bit of a different set of halachot. But it's a little bit ironic. I'm going to go, there's a little bit of a tangent here. Since we're already talking about Kiddush Hashem, I'll just note that when, so far, basically the topic that I want to talk about here is the topic of 10 people for Devarim Shebi Kedusha. When you need a minyan for things like Baruch Hu and Kedusha and Kaddish and so on, for having a Shaliach Tzibur, for having Tefillah B'Tzibur, all of that is what you really need a minyan for, and that's what we're discussing. But there are other cases where you need a group of 10 that is not a minyan in the same sense. And sometimes in those situations, a woman can count. For example, in addition to lighting Hanukkah candles at home, we also light the Hanukkah candles in shul, and we recite a bracha. To recite a bracha over the Hanukkah candles in shul, you do need 10 people. And the Ben Ish Chai here, in Shit Rav Pa'alim, says, Yesh lomar mahani tzeiruf nashim ba'avor pirsum hanes. The point of having 10 people to recite a bracha for lighting Hanukkah candles and shul has nothing to do with Devarim Shabik Dusha, in the same way that that davening does. It has to do with 10 people knowing about it, 10 people seeing the public, it has to do with 10 people sort of for publicity, 10 people seeing that the miracle is being publicized, is being, that word is getting out, which is a little bit more similar to martyrdom. In other words, 10 people knowing that somebody is giving up their life for God, 10 people knowing about the miracle of Hanukkah, similarly, possibly with, again, there's a machloket here, but possibly 10 women count for a minyan for Megillah reading, right? Again, because there the question is Pirsumei Nisa, right? For Megillah reading, it's Pirsumei Nisa. It's publicizing the miracle that happened on Purim. So when we're talking about 10 people, whether it's 10 people that are witnessing martyrdom, 10 people that are realizing that we're publicizing the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of Purim, there, 10 women might not tell, there, a group of men and women, or even 10 women, might really count as a minyan, because it's not exactly a minyan. So there's already, we're going to see that there's different categories of 10 people, and sometimes you can have 10 people counting for halachic purposes when it's that 10 people know about something. There, we still have that significant number 10, which we saw all the way back to Tanakh, seems to be somehow the number that causes 10 that causes a group of individuals to be a unit. There, it doesn't have to be men, but for tefillah, it does need to be men. Okay, we don't have to, let's look quickly at a few more sources. This is a source that I think Lori did with you last week, right? There's a source really discussing Zimun, where it says, V'hameya nashi, Katre Gavri Damyan. It's a very flattering source, right? 100 women are the same as 2 men. Meaning, just as 2 men is not enough to make a Zimun, 100 women is not enough to make a Zimun. And then we say, wait a minute, but 100 women can make, 103 women can make a Zimun, right? So the question is, what does it mean, Maya Nashi Katre Gavri Damyan? So Rashi interprets this as being specifically part of the discussion of Birkat HaMazon, but Tosfot adds in a layer. He says, "Le'inyan kibbutz tefila, le'inyan kol devar shabas hara," right? For all of these things, even 100 women don't count. Certainly 10 women. Certainly any number of women. Okay? When it says 100 women don't count, it basically means it doesn't matter how many women you put together, they don't contribute towards a minyan. They have no effect on a minyan. So another source that's brought for knowing that there are 10 men in a minyan and no women is this Gemara in Brachot. Another very straightforward reason why we need 10 men for Dvarim Shabik Dusha is something that we'll get into a little bit more next week, which is the idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Women are obligated in Tefillah, exactly the same way, more or less exactly the same way that men are. Men and women are both obligated in tefillah per se. But tefillah b'tzibur, communal prayer, public prayer, women are not obligated in the same way as men. Women can participate, but the specific obligation of tefillah b'tzibur is more on men. And therefore, a minyan for tefillah b'tzibur requires 10 men, right? Meiri explains that kol shehit zricha la'asara yish omrim v'hi ho'il chiyuv hanashim shave ba la'anashim mitztarfot hein ba la'asara. If women have the same level of obligation as men, again, Megillah is our example here. For Megillah, men and women, according to many opinions, have exactly the same level of obligation. Some people want to make a certain distinction between reading and the obligation to read and the obligation to hear. Women are certainly obligated in Megillah. So we say, if men and women have the same level of obligation, women could count for 10. Whereas if women and men have a different level of obligation, which is true for Tefillah B'Tzibur, and that involves all the Devarim Shabik Dusha that we're discussing now at Kaddish and Kedusha and so on, then women would not count for a minyan. The last possibility where we want to start talking about why only men and not women is a little bit more conceptual. And it says, why are 10 people significant? Because 10 people in a certain way, once you have 10 people, you say, okay, now I have like a kind of a mini Am Yisrael. I have like the Jewish people in miniature. These 10 people are significant because they represent the whole Jewish people. 9 people is 9 individuals. 10 people is like a representation of the whole Jewish people. And that's why it says, Nikdashti betoch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified among the children of Israel, among Am Yisrael, among the whole Jewish people. 10 people already is considered a representative quorum that represents the whole nation. And when we want to talk about how we conceive of the nation, there's a tendency to talk about it in terms of the men. And we see this in Tanakh. We see this in Bamidbar, right? When it says, Su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael, count all the children of Israel. Who do we count? Well, first of all, we count Levet Avotam. We count according to the households headed by fathers, the male-headed households, right? And we count kol zachar, the Google Avotam. We count all the males, right? When we want to see who constitutes B'nai Yisrael, we do a census of all the men. So when we talk about B'nai Yisrael as sort of an abstract concept that represents a number of people, we can say who represents B'nai Yisrael as a group of men. Even though we know that B'nai Yisrael includes men, women, and children, somehow the quality of representing B'nai Yisrael is carried out by men. So that's another way of sort of conceptually saying, okay, we have 10 people. It really needs to be 10 men because 10 men are representing B'nai Yisrael. And we can actually take that idea of representation back a little bit and say, two things. We say, first of all, we say, Stam B'nai Yisrael dekol ha'Torah b'gdolim zacharim kamari. When we say B'nai Yisrael, the default meaning is adult males. And furthermore, the Eved V'isha V'katan Ein Itztafim She'enam Chayavim B'mitzvot. And second of all, bondsmen, women, and minors don't have the same level. They are obviously obligated in many, many mitzvot, but they are not obligated in exactly all of the same mitzvot. And specifically, women are not obligated in communal prayer in the same way that men are. And if women aren't obligated in communal prayer in the same way that men are, then women can't represent the community of men for purposes of communal prayer because we have a different level of obligation. Now the question of whether B'nai Yisrael really means only men is questionable, right? Magen Avraham points out, Tekol HaTorah Nemra B'Lashon Zachar, right? That's how grammar works in Hebrew, right? Until you come up with like very, very modern things that people are trying to do to make modern Hebrew more egalitarian, which is tricky. But basically the whole Torah is in Lashon Zachar. That's sort of the default grammatical gender that we use. V'afilu hachi isha b'chol. There are a lot of cases when it does include women. So does B'nai Yisrael or doesn't B'nai Yisrael include women? That's an interesting question. Do you really need 10 men for purposes of representing B'nai Yisrael? I'm not sure. But we have I think we've seen 5 different possible ways that we might have derived the idea that a minyan includes 10 men and not women for purposes of tefillah. We've seen that this is the straight and clearly accepted halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, right? That you need asara zecharim b'nei charim gedolim she'hevyu betzarot. And we've seen briefly that this has to do specifically with devarim shebikdusha and tefillah b'tzibor. It doesn't have to do with various other things that require 10 as 10 witnesses or 10 people seeing something. In that case, an audience of 10 may really be able to include women. And we saw the examples of Kiddush Hashem in the sense of martyrdom. We saw the examples of lighting the Hanukkah candles in Shul, or the example of Megillat Esther, which is coming up, where it may in fact be possible. They're always machloket. I'm not going to say it, halacha is this way or that way, but where there is a concept that women might count. On the other hand, for Tefillah B'Tzibur, we have a pretty clear halachic tradition that seems to be based more on various ways of reading psukim and reading sources and derivations than on anything, you know, theological. In other words, theologically, you say women have the same level of Kedusha. But when we want to talk about how we create a unit that is relevant for tefillah, it seems to be a unit of 10 men. So now I'm going to stop sharing and I'm going to see what's in the chat. Okay. Right. So I assume no need for 10 men. Ah, that's for Sodom. A woman can also be righteous. That's a reasonable guess. I'm intrigued to find out whether, right? We also know that, and what I'm more intrigued by was what was the nature of the women in Sodom. But that's a whole nother question. So many women are very learned today. And when there's a women's tefillah and 10 women, they should be able to say all the prayers and not eliminate those that the rabbis now say there has to be 10 men to say certain prayers. So that's more or less exactly where we run up against the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, we have, just as these prayers were ordained by the rabbi, these specific texts of the prayers, the rabbis also gave us guidelines for how many people and what contexts we can say them. And the bottom line psak of the Shulchan Aruch that really isn't up for dispute here is that these prayers require a minyan of 10. It has nothing to do with how learned people are, how spiritual people are. It also has nothing to do with, you know, the Shechina being there. The Shechina is probably there where you have a minyan of 10 women, a group of 10 women. But you're not good. Those tefillot, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you need 10 men. Ein ma lasot. Why not Eda Eda? We do say Eda Eda, so I don't quite understand that. We say Toch Toch, and then we connect Toch to Eda, and then we say Eda Eda. Okay. Why not say the Eda is 12, since it includes originally the two with a good report? So it says Ha'eda Hara'ah Hazot, this wicked assembly. So the wicked assembly includes only the 10 wicked spies and not the two righteous spies. So it doesn't prove only men, although we saw that one of the derivations is that since that actual group of 10 spies was a group of 10 men, that may be part of the argument for it really being 10 men. Betoch refers to the brothers, but to the others coming to Egypt. That is correct. It says Betoch Haba'im. In other words, the 10 brothers were within those who came. This is one of the things about a Gzeirah Shavah, is that they aren't really always eminently logical. So because you have a pasuk about the brothers, and that pasuk has the word Betoch, that's good enough for this Gezeirah Shavah, at least for the Rishami's version of it, even though I completely agree with you, it's not really logical. I wouldn't say the brothers were so righteous at that point after selling Yosef. This is years after they've sold Yosef and they're on the verge of doing tshuva, so hopefully they're getting more righteous, right? Forget how many years it was after they sold Yosef, but like 20, right? So this is... hopefully, certainly we'll see very soon at the, you know, conclusion of this episode, the brothers really do end up becoming righteous again. And we do have a tradition, you know, the 12 tribes were righteous, same Malasso. They did a big sin of selling Yosef. Who is Ra'avan? A Rishon? I'll look it up in a sec. I'm forgetting exactly what the initials stand for. But Ravan is a Rishon from the medieval period. One commentary says he should have sent women. Yep, I agree. That would have been quite possibly, again, that would have changed the entire course of history. And maybe it would have even changed the halacha about minyan. Who knows? Although then there would have been no Eidah Ra'ah. Didn't the with 70 B'nai Yisrael go down to Egypt, both male and female, and not all physically present at the start of the journey? So the B'nai Yisrael, it's interesting that count of 70, because it's like 95% men, but not 100% men. So it's not clear if there were sort of like, we're counting the men plus the women that have something really important about them, like Sarah Chabad Asher, or if there really were, you know, like 68 men and two women or however it was. Wait, is that, that's a good question. But it actually, the question of how that count of 70 just makes it makes things more complicated, I think. I'm not sure how it helps us that much. It does give an example where B'nai Yisrael includes women. And obviously B'nai Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim included women. And right, Bizchut Nashim Tzadkaniyot Nigalo Mitzrayim. Wait, we know clearly that there were righteous women coming out of Mitzrayim. So B'nai Yisrael includes men and women. The question is whether the 10 people that are kind of representing the unit of B'nai Yisrael should all be men, which is the way that some people understand it. So this is a perfect example of circular reasoning. I'm not sure if it's circular reasoning. I agree that it's not an airtight proof. We're taking a bunch of elements that seem to lead us all in the same direction. We also presumably have a long-standing tradition here that predates any of the text-based discussions about it being men. So I agree that this is not, and none of these things are an airtight proof. On the other hand, halacha, following halacha doesn't depend on whether we feel that the halachic sources have sort of proved it in an irrefutable way. It depends also on whether this is what the Shulchan Aruch and all the poskim accept. Side issue, Ray women, but relevant for today. What if it was in front of 8 people, not 10, Ray Kiddush Hashem, but be recorded or broadcast on video, internet, etc.? Probably room to be machmir. I mean, I really, you know, I don't want to find, you know, this is the trouble with counting women even for this meeting, is I really not, you know, eager to find ways to be machmir about, you know, Kiddush Hashem, right? You know, rather that people not find themselves being obligated to die rather than eat pork. And certainly these are not areas in which I have any expertise on which to paskin. But yeah, the question seems to be whether 10 people are aware of it at the time that it's happening. And that's therefore a very relevant question, which I am thoroughly not qualified to answer. But yeah, it may be relevant. I don't know. Would Pirsum HaNes include minors who are old enough to understand Pirsum HaNes? I have not seen anybody discussing minors counting for a minyan for Megillah. That's an interesting question. I have not seen that. Because we talk about Pirsum HaNes, but with Megillah, we're also talking about an equal obligation. In other words, women and men are equally obligated in hearing Megillah. Children are not. So when we want to talk about the implications of a minyan for Megillah, I don't think people talk about children. For lighting Hanukkah candles in Shul, I don't know. I can check. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Where does the obligation of men for tefillah b'tzibur come from? Is it a circular argument? We will talk about that next week, Bezrat Hashem, because it's a good question, but it's more time than we have, and it is what we're going to talk about next week. So I hope you will be there, at least tune into the recording. Hanukkah candles, afim hayu botones, correct. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles. Normally the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles does not require a minyan. When I light Hanukkah candles at home, I don't need a minyan there. And I don't need a minyan of people to see them out my window either. There's no requirement of minyan for Hanukkah candles except when you're lighting Hanukkah candles in shul. But yes, Hanukkah candles, women and men are equally obligated in because of Afim Hayubot Anis. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions, comments, whatever? So we will be back next week. We have, first of all, we'll finish the question of minyan by discussing the question of can you count a woman as the 10th for a minyan, right? You know, if you have 9 men and 1 woman, so can you count a woman as the 10th? Actually is discussed in the sources. And then we'll go on to the general question of tefillah b'tzibur, which is kind of at the back of all of this. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great